Our first guest this morning is a professor of hospitality and tourism in the College of Business over at the University of New Haven. I want to discuss the travel industry, the hospitality industry, which has been decimated, as well as I'm sure the tourism industry will continue to be decimated. At least restaurants will slowly be reintroduced to people in many ways. Although I shouldn't say that, because I think we've all visited, a lot of people have visited restaurants. However, they just couldn't eat there. You have to take it home. Her name is Dr. Jan Louise Jones. Jan, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great in this rainy Connecticut day.
I know. We were talking about that earlier. It's like tomorrow was supposed to be sunny, so I'm getting tired of this rain. That can't be good for tourism, right?
No, we're just getting hit on all sides, even weather.
Boy, are we ever. So, oh my goodness, I don't even know where to begin. Well, let's begin with, I want to talk about tourism. I want to talk about travel. And let's start with hospitality, because as we just learned from the press conference that Governor Ned Lamont had provided yesterday, it sounds like some restaurants that have outside dining will be allowed to reopen. Of course, that's probably only a quarter of the restaurants. You would know the statistic more than I would, of the restaurants in Connecticut. So it's really, it's only helping a select few, right?
Yeah, it is. And even for those restaurants that will be able to open, they're really going to have to decide, is that going to be enough, revenue coming in to make sense to open in terms of their overall overhead. So it's going to be a challenge even for those who have outdoor seating, I think, to decide, is it going to make sense for us to reopen now?
Yeah, because usually those restaurants that have some outdoor seating, it's only a few seats. The majority of their seating, of course, is inside. So that would still require you, if you're going to open up your doors, you'd still have to pay, your wait staff, right? You'd still have to, you have to buy your supplies, your food supplies and everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. It's the food, it's the staff in the kitchen specifically. I mean, you need a full staff to run a full kitchen. And you're right, here in New England, the weather is so hit or miss. We don't have as much outdoor seating as, say, some of the warmer states. So you're right, it's not really the majority of their revenue. Typically.
Well, right, and knowing that we're going into the warmer weather, which he can say, well, the cold weather is for the most part behind us. That doesn't necessarily mean the wet weather is behind us, as we just spoke about.
exactly. Listen, I grew up in Nova Scotia, Canada. It's exactly like Connecticut. You one day could be beautiful and sunny, and the next it's rainy and cold. And if you're going to make that decision to open up, you're really then relying on the weather to cooperate.
Would it have been
a lot of factors?
Would it have been better to just say one of two things, either, remain closed or remain doing curbside takeout, or how about this? And I've mentioned this a few times on the air, and that is maybe open up the interior, open up the inside for dining inside. However, go like a checkered board, maybe go every other table. Okay, so that you are distancing from the table next to you. Because at some restaurants, these tables are on top of each other because square footage is at a premium. And then as people leave, you can leapfrog. The tables that were vacant are now going to be the tables used. And then the tables that were occupied, they're now, as the changeover of the tables, they could remain, vacant. We could leapfrog them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that is actually, happening in some places. I was just talking to a colleague in Stockholm in Sweden the other day, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're basically putting an X on every other table, reopening up their cafes and restaurants. My personal feeling on that is it's better to make sure that everyone is going to be safe, including your staff, before you forge too quickly ahead. I think what we all would not want to see is to do something like that and then, have a surge in, the amount of people going back into the hospitals and then have to shut completely down again. So I think we do want to be strategic about, when is the right time to do that, and is it really are we really out of danger in terms of people getting sick?
But couldn't the same be said about outdoor dining?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so torn about it. I obviously have so many colleagues and friends that are really struggling right now in restaurants and hotels and actually everywhere in the industry. And I want so desperate for them to, you know, be able to open back up.
Yeah.
But it is challenging because what you don't want for a business is to completely open up and then have to shut down again. And so it is, it's not an easy decision for sure. But I think that's what we're going to see is a little bit more of a phased opening for everywhere.
Yeah, and I think some of these restaurant owners, especially the smaller mom and pop independent restaurant owners should, will end up banding together and taking their case right to the governor, you know, and saying, hey, listen, we don't have outdoor seating. We want to play ball with you, but you got to throw us a bone here and allow us to, you know, maybe whatever the fire marshal says. Let's just say, you know, let's say the maximum occupancy for a particular restaurant is 80. And I'm just saying this hypothetically. You know, maybe we start off at half, at 40% occupancy, you know, and in the formula that I just previously outlined. I mean, there's got to be a fair, happy medium for restaurant owners and its patrons and what the governor is you know, trying to institute here.
No, I think you're right.
Let's move over to tourism. So I understand museums can open up and outdoor zoos, but Connecticut, we've got a lot of tourism, tourism places here in the state.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting you said that because right in the news before it said that a couple more beaches are closing down. So, I mean, we're definitely, we're not open for business yet for sure, but I think recreation and outdoor recreation is going to be the biggest boom after all of this. I think people are extremely ready to get outside and I think our parks in particular are going to be pretty crowded as soon as this is open up. And we're going to have to be really careful and make sure we have very good policies in place to make sure that people are still keeping a social distance and staying safe in these areas.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about it.
For two reasons. Number one, people have been cooped up for the last couple of months. And really, I mean, there's only so much that you can do inside.
exactly.
People, they got to get out and about. The other thing is, as the weather starts turning warmer, you combine those two things where people are chomping at the bit to get out and get more active, combined with the weather turning to warmer temperatures, you've got the perfect formula for exactly what you just said, you know, to start hitting our state parks, our state beaches, and go for our trails or, you know, and walks and hikes and, you know, bike rides or just rides to the shore in general.
Right.
You know, you talked about beaches. I read that yesterday, too, that some of these smaller beaches are closing, but that's temporarily, from what I read yesterday. That's not necessarily for the remainder of the 2020, you know, summer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of those places are, so, like you said, they're small, and it's really hard to manage people coming. If there's nobody there right now, it's really hard to manage and make sure people are staying safe. And so I'm really hopeful, and I think that it does make sense to open up some of those outdoor places just as long as we have, you know, just while we're still dealing with all of this, that we have basically procedures in place to make sure that people are staying, you know, a distance from each other and staying healthy and safe. But I really think this is actually going to be a trend all over the world. I don't think it's just going to be here in Connecticut, that people are going to want to recreate after this. And they're going to have, you know, procedures in place to deal with that. I do think it's going to be a little crowded in the beginning.
What about the travel industry in general? Let's start locally, and then we'll talk about airlines and flying to other destinations. All right, so let's talk about travel. We heard yesterday that the governor of Rhode Island, Governor Raimondo, has closed down all of their beaches, outdoor gatherings, festivals, fairs for the rest of the year. And I'm thinking to myself, and I try to be objective. I really do. I really don't. No, I'm serious. I look at things from all angles. And I thought, well, two things. Boy, aren't we jumping the gun a little bit. It's a little presumptuous because it was here it was April 30th, and here you are making these definite decisions that will take us right through New Year's Eve, you know, for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And right. And I'm like, well, geez, I mean, I know Governor Lamont is very influential by the surrounding governors, although it seems to be more Governor Cuomo than in New York than Governor Raimondo in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking to myself, all kidding aside, and I don't mean this in a laughing matter, but if that decision was ever made here, there'd be holy hell, you know, going on.
And actually, you know, we're probably part of why they're saying that, right? I mean, I know we vacation a lot in Rhode Island beaches, and I almost feel like he's saying, like, make other plans, don't come here. But that, like you said, that's a pretty early decision to make that call, and their economy definitely relies on people going to those beaches and going to those outdoor recreation places in Rhode Island. So that's a pretty big call so early. I would agree with you.
So let's look at the local travel before we do national or international travel. What are you forecasting? How do you see local travel and tourism being impacted this summer?
So I actually think that once things start to open up a bit, domestic travel is actually going to, it'll probably increase first, much quicker than international travel. There's just so many other layers of issues that can come into international travel. But people, you know, from the people that I'm talking to, I kind of see that there's two crowds. There's one group that's just, you know what, as soon as this opens up, I'm going back to everything that I wanted to do before this happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just going to do it. And I've talked to some of the students, you know, they had spring break trips planned, and they are, the second this is over and they can book that trip, they're going to go back to that, if it's allowed.
like summer, so, it's like, forget spring break, it's like summer break, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because they'll be having spring break next year. But I also think there's going to be people that are going to be looking for less crowded types of tourist destinations. And I think it'll start domestic. So I do feel that, like, let's say you're here in Connecticut, you might want, instead of going to Boston, you might go to some of the touristy areas in Massachusetts, but that are less crowded or, you know, don't have the big crowds involved. So I think there's going to be a bit of a shift in terms of where people are going. A lot of the big venues probably won't be opened up at the beginning. And so you're going to just see people traveling, but I think more, like I said, to quieter locations domestically. Or there's the risk takers that are going to do whatever.
Oh, there'll always be risk takers.
Yeah.
And I kind of fall into that category, I have to admit. We're hearing that Disney is going to do 50% capacity. Have you heard the same or?
Interesting. Yeah, no, the last I had heard about Disney was that they were closing. I hadn't heard that they were thinking about a 50% reopen. Yeah, that's great.
And that there will be certain areas of their parks that are just will be off limits. At least temporarily, you know, in other words, when they do reopen, not everything will be open. We're hearing like 80-85% of the park will be, but that there'll be increased, staffing and increased security to keep, a good view on people.
On what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised by that. Disney got in a little bit of trouble because they stayed open a little longer and had some big crowds. Probably a little bit longer than they should have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a huge park and they employ a lot of people in that area. And so I'm sure they're just looking to try to do anything to get at least some of it open again. Sure. Disney's interesting too because it is domestic travel, but a lot of people will have to take flights to get there. You know, their market is from all over. So it'll be interesting to see if people are rebooking flights. I think that's going to be the big decision first. Do I want to get on an airplane?
Well,
and, you know, so people that can drive to Disney, I'm sure will still be driving to Disney. But.
Well, you know how airlines are, Janet. They're packed like sardines in there.
I know. I think everyone's looking forward to possibly having the middle seat moved.
We've been asking for that for years. Now, yeah, finally get it?
I know. That would be amazing.
We only have about a minute or so left. What about traveling overseas? Do you see international travel getting any steam at all this year, people are going to wait for the maybe next year?
I was hopeful about a month ago that it would open up by, you know, and really kind of get backtracked for July. But the more I don't know, the more people I talk to, I really do think this is going to impact international travel at a much higher level. The problem with being on an airplane is that it's not just you and where you've been. It's that you don't know what other countries the person next to you has been to. You don't know, you know, kind of who's been where on that, in that particular airplane. And that's a big challenge because different places have been hit harder than this. And
good point.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. No one's heading over to Italy anytime soon, right?
Oh, I know. So I was supposed to take a group of students for a whole month to Italy in June.
Yikes.
And yeah, we're just so, I mean, we're thankful that everyone there is healthy and, you know, staying healthy. And
I hope you're not going.
No,
okay.
We're not. We've moved, but that was my point, is we've moved that out for a year now. So
that's smart.
I think a lot of people are rebooking international travel. A lot of people I've talked to are booking at least for Christmas. Seems like that's sort of like, oh, you know, we're booking our Christmas trips now. And then moving some of their international that was supposed to be this summer, they seem to be moving it to next summer.
Smart decision. I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. I hope you're able to come back and join us sometime in the near future.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy the weather this weekend, Jen.
Yes, looking forward to it. Get outside.
You got that right. Dr. Jan Louise Jones from the University of New Haven. Can't thank you enough. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.